Several states cover a list of medical procedures, including surgery for transgender people. Oregon became one of those states, joining California on January 1st. This means the state's version of Medicaid, the Oregon Health Plan, covers some procedures for transgender people that it did not cover before, which is a boon to transgender people who really can't afford their own private health insurance, but it's also a target of criticism from people who do not approve of public money being spent this way. Nico Quintana is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the policy director at the group Basic Rights Oregon. Nico, thanks for joining us today on the Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the new. What does OHP cover now that it didn't last year?
Yes. So now transition-related care includes counseling and hormone therapy. And for transgender people, people don't know what a transgender means. A transgender person is someone whose sex at birth is different from who they are. They know they are inside. So I'm a transgender person. When I was born a girl, but I identify and feel like I'm a boy inside. And this means that now on the Oregon Health Plan, Medicaid will allow folks like me to be able to see a counselor and get hormones for hormone therapy, and also work with our doctors to see what other medical treatment is appropriate for us. And this is groundbreaking.
Does this put Oregon out in front? I mean, it seems like there aren't that many other states that do provide such services through Medicaid plans.
There's just a handful of states that do this now.
All right, California, I see among them as well.
Yeah, California, Washington, D.C., Washington State, and also Massachusetts and a few others, Vermont, I believe, as well.
Nico, was it a very long fight to get this?
I think it's been a rather long haul for many, many generations for trans people to be able to get equal rights and get the equality that we need. And for healthcare, for generations, for decades, folks haven't had access to the life-saving health coverage that that people need.
All right. So were some procedures covered by Oregon Health Plan prior to January 1st?
I think what's important to think about is now what's covered is life-saving care that people can work with their doctors to determine what is appropriate for them, including hormones and also some surgeries. Before that, folks did not have access. Transgender people did not have access to get the life-saving care.
All right. So, I mean, this must be a very big deal in the transgender community then.
It is a big deal. It means for the first time in a very long time, people can work with their trusted providers and stay in their communities to get the care they need.
And I'm thinking there might be a few hoops or hurdles to clear before getting access to these services. Are there any in particular?
I think a lot of it is, let me give you a story, an example.
Sure.
So I know I've been working on this issue for a very long time, and what was common is I had a friend, and this is a common story, who saved up money for about 10 years to be able to get a really normal procedure, which is chest surgery, because he knew that he was a boy and wanted to have a boy's chest. And he had to go, paid about $10,000 to go out of his community to a outpatient facility in another state to get that procedure and away from his family and friends. And then he got sick. And this was not done in a hospital, and his aftercare wasn't done by people who were friendly and knew him. And so, and this was a common, and this is a common reoccurrence, and this actually happened to me too. So the new law, laws that we've been able to do and put into place in Oregon, will help people be able to get the care, life-saving care that we need, transgender people need, in order to stay in our communities, not have to go to out of state, and bringing these medical providers and the treatments out of the shadows and into our hospitals and into our doctor's offices.
Nico, you've referred to this a couple of times now as life-saving care. Could you expand on that just a bit?
Yeah, so transgender people have, for example, transgender people have a 40% in Oregon suicide attempt rate, also have higher rates of poverty and higher rates of discrimination. And so this means that trans people have higher rates of mortality rate than other folks. For example, I'm 31 years old, and I've been to more than a dozen of memorial services for friends that are trans, and I've lost 4 transgender friends and colleagues this year alone. And some of the things that have been taking the lives of my friends and colleagues have been things from suicide to to violence and also health disparities. And having access to health care that is competent and also appropriate will reduce these disparities and hopefully mean that I don't have to go to more and more funerals of people I care about.
I'm sorry you've been through that, particularly in this past year. Nico Quintana is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Policy Director at Basic Rights Oregon. We're talking about transgender medical procedures now covered by the Oregon Health Plan, Oregon's version of Medicaid. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments, 800-838-3760 around the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So you were talking about being born a girl, but feeling like a boy inside. I mean, was this always something that was an issue for you? Did it assert itself at a certain age?
Yeah, I think what's important to think about is like transgender people are people like anyone else, and for us, we need to. For me, I was always a boy, and but again, I think what's really important is that this is about me having access and people like me having access to basic health care like anyone should have access to, and the reality that people like me haven't had that, and that's led to really, really bad health outcomes for people like me.
In some cases, I mean, in all cases, I would think that transgender people feel like what they're asking for here is really just a, if not a restoration, a releasing of the true self.
I think that what this really highlights is the ability to have the freedom to be who we are. So like all Oregonians, transgender people simply want the freedom to live life fully without facing discrimination, freedom to love, freedom to be loved, freedom to take care of themselves and their families. And for that freedom to be realized, we need not only legal equality, right, but where our laws are protected, where it protects transgender Oregonians, but we need these laws to really work for us. And access to basic health care is a bread and butter issue for everyone. But for us, this is for transgender people. We have been denied access to basic health care that is life-saving for us for decades. And Oregon is doing a really amazing job now at ensuring that people that are transgender have access to this life-saving care.
So, Nico, is there pretty much a set medical approach to transgender health now, a set of standards generally agreed on by both medical providers and the transgender community?
There is a very good standard of care that has been followed and in many states and is what our new laws are based on. It's the World Standards of Care for Transgender People, WPATH, and the new ruling was completely based on that. On that law, and it gives a very good guidance of the standards that medical providers should follow in order to address the symptoms of gender dysphoria.
Now, gender dysphoria, I understand there was a big issue with how gender dysphoria was identified within the psychological community. It took a while to bring the psychological community around to the thinking of the transgender community. Is that a fair assessment?
I think what's important to think about with here is that gender dysphoria is now just the term that's being used to describe the anguish and the symptoms and the struggle that people like me go through, and it's what is now coded by doctors to be able to diagnose and offer people the treatments that they need.
Let us take a couple of calls. We have Steve and Eugene up first. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about transgender medical procedures covered by the Oregon Health Plan with Nico Quintana from Basic Rights Oregon. Hi, Steve.
Howdy. I'm just sort of wondering how you get away from the fact that transgender surgery is a purely elective procedure. I mean, oh, my nose gives me so much anguish that I have to have a nose bomb. You know, it's not really, you know, I don't see where it's as life-threatening as you're proclaiming.
All right. Thanks for that, Steve. Appreciate it. So nose job versus gender reassignment. Pick it up there, please, Nico.
Yeah, I understand why you would ask, why you say that. And I think what's important to think about is understanding what it's like to be a transgender person can be hard, especially if you've never met a transgender person. And we just don't know what it's like for others unless we walk a mile in their shoes. And what I'll say about this is why it's life-saving is that for me as a transgender person, I had to wait 10 years before I had a surgery that was chest surgery. And it was completely life-saving for me. And it's different because it is not elective in the sense that if I did not receive that care, my life would not be something that I would want to live every day. And for a lot of transgender people, this is absolutely necessary, medically appropriate, and proven to be so, and will save a lot of lives if we have access to this very basic care.
You've used the term chest surgery a couple times now. Are we talking the equivalent of double mastectomy or breast reduction surgery? Or, I mean, what slot does this fit into that we've heard before?
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry, I missed that.
You mentioned chest surgery a couple of times. I'm looking for a more technical term there.
Yes. So for me, I'm a trans man, and that procedure would be a mastectomy and chest reconstruction. Yes.
Okay.
Another thing to think about is there is an advocate that we work with, and I've worked with lots of different transgender advocates who have talked about just how life-saving this is in the sense of folks every day, the anguish people feel of having high blood pressure, depression, and other health issues directly related to not having the access to this life-saving care. And again, imagine this is someone that you care about in your life. Maybe your child, maybe your spouse, or maybe a good friend, and every day you see them struggling. And you know that there is a relief, and this is what we have now. We have relief for so many thousands of people. We now have relief in the sense of having appropriate and covered care. And again, for the first time, being covered. And this is life-saving for so many people.
What information do we have, Nico, about the numbers of people who might potentially be able to make use of the new procedures, people who are both transgender and covered by the Oregon Health Plan?
Yeah, the numbers I have for you are the numbers that the Oregon Health Plan gave us. And the Oregon Health Plan estimates about 175 Oregonians will access this care each year for a combined cost of under $150,000 per year. That's the numbers that we have currently.
A combined cost of, you mean all 175 will cost $150,000 in a single year?
That's what they gave us, yes.
Huh, all right. Let's take another call here. We're talking to Nico Quintana, Policy Director at Basic Rights Oregon, about transgender medical procedures now covered by the Oregon Health Plan. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Todd in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, thank you. I have two questions for your guest. One is regarding funding. Is this these procedures funded by taxpayer money? And if they are, the other question I have is, why should I pay for that if I don't agree with it?
Right,
I'll take my answer on the air.
Thank you, Todd. First answer is yes, correct. And so, Nico, what would be the second part of that?
Yeah, so thank you for your question. And I think that again, this is the cost of this is about $150,000 per year, and OHP's combined budget is $9.7 billion biannual budget. So this is a very, very small cost for a very large outcome of reducing the health disparities for so many people. So this will be life-saving for so many people, and for your question of not wanting to pay for something, and I can really understand that, but what this is about, bringing it back to real lives and real human beings, and that in Oregon we have a government-funded healthcare system, Oregon Health Plan, and this is and taxpayer money does go to that, and this would is an appropriate use of funds to be able to help people get the care that they need, and as a human thing, like people need access to to treat conditions that they have through their health insurance, and this is an appropriate use of funds for that, and a life-saving use of funds.
As for the number, and I did go digging into our stack of paperwork here just a little bit, there's a quote here from Dr. Ariel Smits, who's the head of the Oregon Health Evidence Review Commission. Dr. Smits' numbers also come in the same place, between $100,000 and $200,000. You just picked right smack in the middle, but it looks like no more than a fifth of $1 million in what you say is a $9.7 billion budget. Todd, thanks for that call. So, Nico, I have to believe there's been a long request for this. I mean, did you keep going to the legislature over and over and over and asking for this to be included, or was it more of an administrative process? Did you do both?
Well, I think what's really important to think about, again, is that transgender justice movements have been working nationwide for a very, very long time. And in Oregon, Basic Rights Oregon, and our Trans Justice Working Group have been working since 2009 on this specific issue of talking with advocates, with folks in the government to be able to really put a human face to this issue and why it's so important. So it has been a long road, and people have been waiting for coverage for decades. For basic health care to be covered, and it's a huge victory. So we're really happy with that. That now that transgender exclusions are no longer in place in Oregon, which I can talk more about that if folks have questions about what that is. But also now the Oregon Health Plan provides coverage for life-saving care.
Okay, let's come back to transgender exclusions in a couple minutes. But so was it an administrative decision or a legislative decision that that got these covered under the Oregon Health Plan, these procedures?
Yeah, so some background. The Oregon Health Plan is determined by the Health Evidence Review Commission, the HERC. The commission voted to update and modernize coverage of treatment for gender dysphoria to meet the standards of care as recommended by the American Medical Association and every other leading medical association, and this happened in August 2014, so this past August.
Now, is it true that transgender people will certainly come up with some different options for themselves as individuals for how they want to proceed with their lives medically, that not everybody, for example, will go through gender reassignment surgery?
Of course, yes. So transgender people, like all people, it's a very diverse community, and so there are a lot of different options for a lot of different people depending on how they identify. So this coverage now allows people to work with their doctors to determine what's right for them. And for some people, what's right for them is to be able to talk to a counselor about what they might be going through, and also perhaps hormone therapy or perhaps just talking to a counselor. So this allows people to, for the first time, to be able to work with their medical providers to determine what care is appropriate and needed for them.
We have another call here. Let's go to Dondi in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about transgender medical procedures covered by the Oregon Health Plan with Nico Quintana from Basic Rights Oregon. Welcome, Dondi.
Good morning. Hey, I work in healthcare, and I see people who are suffering terribly from physical pain, and no one would want to deny them treatment for that. And I've known people in my personal life who've been suicidal from physical pain and needing treatment for that. And if people are suffering the mental pain from not being able to be who they are, why would we deny them medical treatment? I think this is a wonderful thing the state's done, and I totally support it.
All right. Thanks for that, Dondi. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right. So, Nico, you got a good vote in favor there. Some of the procedures, I'm thinking, like hormone treatments, do they need to continue for life?
I think instead of thinking about the individual treatments, I think what's, again, important to bring it back to the humanity and the individual. So there are lots of different treatment options, and the standards of care are very complicated. It's a very huge document, and for the first time, again, people will be able to work with their doctors to determine what the treatments may look like, the duration, and the and all the different options. But again, what people really need to understand is that this is a human issue, and that this allows people to for the first time to be able to have treatment for a condition that is really central in their lives and causing a lot of pain for so many people. And,
so,
and yeah.
So this really is a big step for the transgender community in Oregon.
It is.
And so you were talking about the transgender exclusions before. Let's expand on that concept now. When you say transgender exclusions, what do you mean?
Yeah, transgender exclusions refer to the, for a very long time, private health insurance and public health insurance had bans on transgender healthcare treatments. And so I had one in my health insurance for years, and it basically said that all transgender health treatments were not covered by the insurance. And in 2012, Oregon led the nation again in issuing a bulletin that would no longer allow that those exclusions, blanket exclusions, to be in private insurances.
It's interesting. So it really was that specific in the insurance policy. You can't get transgender medical procedures under this insurance policy.
Correct.
Wow. And what does that feel like?
Doesn't feel good.
No, I can't imagine it does. Where do things go from here? I mean, are there additional procedures that the transgender community sought to include in the Oregon Health Plan that are still standing outside of coverage, or did you pretty much get what you were looking for here?
I think the next steps are, the reality is that the infrastructure is not in place. So as progressive as Oregon is right now in our agencies and in ensuring that we have this coverage and this policy in place, the reality is that we do not have doctors in every part of the state. They are not trained medical providers on this everywhere in the state, and there are very few in general across the United States, because in our schools of medicine and in our different schools, folks are not getting trained on this, and that will eventually change, and there are standards of care that are proven and are credible, but this will take time in order to ensure that all trans people in the United States and trans people in Oregon have appropriate care and coverage.
Clearly more work ahead, but we have coverage for a number of transgender medical procedures now under the Oregon Health Plan. Nico Quintana is the Policy Director of Basic Rights Oregon. Nico, thank you so much.
Thanks so much.